everyone, Spencer Jones here, and welcome to another episode of the Jonesin' For Show. And today, man, we have an incredible guest joining all of us today to inspire us, to motivate us, to, well, really help us become more aware, right? So we're going to dive into not even positivity or negativity. We're going to go above that and talk about awareness. And so if you are ready to level up, if you are ready to be a 10 out of 10, then this is the episode for you. So without further ado, let me introduce and welcome my good friend, Steve Barton, to join us. Steve, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Spencer. And it's been, look, I've been looking forward to this since we met a few months ago. So
Same here. It's been so much fun learning about your past and how you came up with this, the game of 10, and how we could be at our best. But I know your story, but our listeners don't. Can you share a little bit about your story with them so they know where you're coming from and a little bit of your history?
Well, I was in the flower business for 30 years. That was my career. And then after I retired around 51 years old and started doing financial advising. What else did I do? Customer service for major corporations, a couple of them. And then I finally just realized this is my passion. And someone said when I did the game of 10, so it's a 5-page rules, and you can download it from my website, www.overthelookingglass.com. It's $20. And a friend of mine, another coach here in Maine, said, how long did it take you to write this? And or did you just download it? And I said, I thought about it. It took me about 50 odd years to do it, but I downloaded it in about 15 minutes, you know, because I took everything that I knew from all the self-help books that I've read, Eckhart Tolle's talks, A Course in Miracles. Those are two of the major ones that I find that go above, as you said, positive thinking or thinking at all into awareness. And the game of 10 was set up to be, awareness is 10. It's absolute. It's all the absolute words such as love, awareness, happiness, contentment, peace, joy. Those are absolutes. And 10 is an absolute mindset, which encompasses the negative, the positive, everything.
It's a hard realization to come up from years and years of having been in this duality of going there. But before we even jump into there, so you would consider yourself now like almost a life coach or a coach for people with their spiritual, maybe spiritual coaching. How would you define what you do now? I mean, besides enjoying a retired life, but I mean, I know you enough that we can't ever really retire. We're always helping and inspiring other people some way, shape or form.
Well, this is my career for the rest of my life because I'm not going to retire again. I mean, this is my passion, as it is yours. Can you repeat the question from the beginning?
Sure. If you had a title for your career right now, if we were going to label it, what would that be?
A mindset coach.
Mindset coach. Awesome. And so you help people adjusting their mindset of getting out of this whole duality world of wrong versus right, good versus bad, positive, negative, which, you know, if anyone's listened to the show, you know, I'm all about positive thinking, having that positive mindset. Mm-hmm. And Steve has helped me grow from that positive stuff up to level up to awareness. So I'll throw it over to you, Steve. Why don't you explain the different levels of this game of 10? What is the game of 10? I mean, you said what 10 is, but what about the other levels? What does it entail and what can we do to be at our best?
Good question. And 1 through 9 is all done in duality. Okay. So I send out when I get a client, I send them a discovery form and we pick a topic. What do you want to talk about? And someone says, I have anxiety. Okay. Or I have depression. Those are the two popular ones. So if someone's depressed, I say on a scale of 1 to 10, how depressed are you? The lowest being 1. Hmm. And if they're really suffering from depression, they're also suffering from anxiety. So we start from there. And if someone's depressed, they're usually in the 4-3-2 range. Okay. And so that means from 10, if there are four, they've got 6 degrees of pressure that they've put into their minds of worry, self-doubt, fear, anger, bitterness, you name all those words, unhappiness, because depression is caused by unhappiness. They're not happy. They're stuck and they can't get out of it. So I work with people who, if there are four, we're going to get you to 10. Okay. And I teach, and I actually explain to them why they have this anxiety and depression in a logical, factual terminology. It's nothing woo-woo about it. Nothing's, it is, everything is spiritual. So it's, you can't separate spiritual. It's been, the word's been tainted so much that it's, you don't, you tend to use that word. So it's common sense. Okay. And I do use common sense because it's the sense that we all have in common is 10. And what we don't have in common are the same wavelengths of 1 through 9. Somebody may be operating on a 9. Before I met you, you were solid 9.999. Okay. And we get to the 10.0. And it doesn't make you any different. You can always go back to thinking.
Right.
But what happens is people go into the duality unconsciously. And when you leave 10, you are at a level of unconsciousness. So it's best to operate from 10 with the awareness that you're going into thinking and you don't get lost in it.
So basically, if I'm trying to simplify it in a visual way, because I love visuals, is to imagine like I'm on top of a summit and I could see over the whole valley with other mountains and stuff, but I'm at the highest point. Mm-hmm. And then I make that conscious choice to go down to that valley or other areas, right? So if I'm at a 10, which is at summit, I could consciously choose to go into thinking, right? Because thinking brings in the whole duality world. So then all of a sudden you're not on that summit anymore. You're not at that 10, you're lower than that. So you have to get up to that summit, to that 10. Is that a decent analogy for it?
You can do that, but my suggestion is stay at 10 and do your business from 10, and you'll be a better friend, lover, more compassion for people. Someone comes to you, they're depressed and they're at 3. So do you really want to operate down at 3 and help them out? Or do you want to operate from 10 and to bring them up, allow them to bring themselves up to a level of awareness?
So how can we help? Let's say I'm struggling at a level 3 or a 4, and I have these 6 or 7 levels to go up to a 10. Mm-hmm. How can I do this? I'm struggling and I don't know what to do. So how can I get to the summit, to this level 10?
Well, so if you're at a level 3, you want to get to 10, you've got some depression going on.
Right. Okay.
And the reason we have depression is we've given our power away to a person, place, or situation. And that power has to go someplace, okay? And it basically, think of it as, I think you look at it as a summit, and I'm looking at it as a lucite tube, okay?
Okay?
And we're at 10, we're filled with this positive, loving energy, positive, negative. So we're filled with this energy, love. Okay, so picture you're in a stream, a well stream that is in a lucite tube, and you're in the center of it. It's pretty comfortable. And if you're at a level 3, then all your love energy and happy energies and content energy is down to below your knees, right?
Okay.
All right. And what you have above your knees is depression. Thoughts of game of 10 is this simple. I'm 10. I'm always right with the awareness I have. I am enough, I do enough, and I have enough. Okay, very simple. 5, there's 5. The other 10 is called duality, the game often played.
Right, because that's what we hear so much is duality, right or wrong. I mean, even I've been shifting my teachings to being more of awareness as opposed to just positivity. Well, I think positivity is great and we should be, and that raises you for sure. But the goal is to become aware. And so if I'm at that level three and I feel that my energy is low below my knees of a positive and the rest is negative, how can I push that? How can I get my energy back or put more energy into that positive or into the good to become that 10 so I become more aware?
And
more
all right, here's a good one. Okay, so when we push that energy down from 10 to 3, mm-hmm. it's got to go someplace. And it goes outside ourselves. Okay? And we've allowed this egoic to come in and take over. And it's misery. So, but what we've done is we've allowed it. We have the ability to, with free will to do this. No one did it to us. We did it to ourselves by how we were raised, how we were taught, how we were taught to think. So this energy goes outside ourselves, okay? This 7 degrees of this energy that comes back, you know what it comes back as? Anxiety. It's trying to get back in you. And this energy, this egoic mind-made self, as Eckhart Tolle calls it, thoughts, these negative thoughts, I'm not enough, I don't do enough, I don't have enough, I'm not right with the awareness I have, and I'm not 10, okay? This energy, we have the ability to push that divine energy outside us, and when it comes in, it always is trying to get back into us. But this energy, this mind-made self energy, says, you don't want that back in. It's anxiety, and we call it anxiety.
So we have this energy that's part of us, and when we push it away, it leaves us, it goes externally, but it always wants to come back home, quote unquote, and it comes back to you. But because of your ego that we have, and you know, it depends on how people look at ego, but that self that you build up, you almost put up the shield to say, no, I don't want that to come back in here. And then we label it, calling it anxiety or stress or these different things that happen. And so how do we then take down those shields to allow it back in? How do we get rid of that ego to stop putting those up for us?
Good question. You can't get rid of your ego. The more you try to get rid of it, the stronger it becomes. Okay.
Okay.
So what is the antidote to anything? Love, right? Love. So this love energy that we spewed out 70% from this right. tube, you're standing in a well stream, okay? It's infinite. This love energy is infinite. The other fear energy is not. It's an illusion. It's an illusion of our thoughts of duality. So the question is, how do you get that energy back? It never left you. It's trying to get back in you, your body, okay? And it's trying to push that other out. But what is this entity that's an illusion? Label it fear, okay? So this illusion, which operates on self-doubt, fear, not enough, labels it, that's, you don't want this anxiety, you know, breathe, get through it. Versus when I coach people, I tell them to allow it, but it's so stuck in them and they're afraid of it. I do a visualization with a lever at around below their knee, okay? They're in the well stream, they've got anxiety outside of them, their body, that feels like it feels stress and jittery and fear, you know, and the mind made self or ego is only afraid of one thing. And that is love. It will push it away. It will do everything to sabotage. It's called the saboteur. It's called the gremlin. It's called, there's many names for it throughout all the books. We'll call it something. It is given to us. I don't know how, but in our program, it was given to us, and let me shut my phone off here.
Yeah, no
worries. It was given to us somehow, and we have free will with it, okay? So we have that ability. So when I'm doing a coaching session, I'll have someone put a valve below their knee, if there are three, and to open it up. Okay. They're standing up to their knee, about below their knee, in this divine energy. And they have the power to open that valve up, to have it come, go into the well stream and go back into them and raise it to a level that they choose.
Interesting. Okay.
So it never goes away. It's always trying to get back in, but the mind will say, you don't want this, Spencer.
Right.
It'll kill you. Okay. What it will do, it will kill the mind made self. And the mind made self that we, you and I create, or everyone who's listening created, is an illusionary self that is made up. And it will do everything it can to control and to stay in its false livelihood. It's a trickster.
It really is. And for those of you listening or watching this right now, Steve and I, we've chatted about this before, and he's helped me become, raise myself to a level 10. But I'll tell you, when he first started mentioning these things, my mind was just blown. So I don't know, maybe you're feeling that same way. My mind just going, okay, so this is all man-made self. I created this image, this ego, this self about my, about who I am, what I stand for, what I believe in, all these things. And I just need to be open, show it love and awareness, and accept that love into my life, and just be aware and not judge back and forth. And so it's a hard concept to, I'll just tell you from personal experience, for me, it was a hard concept for me to not understand, but to accept and to actually let take over. But when you do, it's incredible. So with that, Steve, how can we let it take over? What are strategies or tips? Is it just totally allowing it, or just dissolving the ego, dissolving that self-made self, and just being okay with whatever happens or comes? How does that happen? Because again, I'm afraid that ego is talking to me, my self-made is saying, don't do that, that's scary, you can kill me, right? Mm-hmm. How do we get through this?
Well, first of all, you understand what it is that you're dealing with, okay? The mind-made self is absolutely, let me put it this way. In the game of 10, I do mention the Cleveland Clinic, and we'll talk about the mind-made self, okay? Our thoughts. We have about 60,000 thoughts a day. 90% of them are the same thoughts you had yesterday. 10% are new. 80% are negative. 20% are positive, okay?
Right.
I've added to the game of 10. I haven't put it in yet. 100% of those thoughts are insane. Okay. So if you're going to play with the ego, you will never win. Never. It will master you. It knows you because it is you in your thoughts. It can outthink you. Okay. And if you play with it and you get better at it and get more positive and get more blah, 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 it's going to figure out what you're doing and still maintain a level of control with you. And when you are low energy, tired, it'll come in and take over. Okay. Someone will trigger you when you're vulnerable and angry, and it will come in and go, yeah, baby, let's play. Okay. So what you, how you manage the ego, you have to surrender to it. I'm not playing with you. You don't play fair. You lie, you steal, you cheat. And I can't.
Oh, sorry, go on. I didn't mean to cut you
off. I will never win. You will never win playing with the ego, because it's you at your manipulative cunningness. It is you at your insanely brilliant self, okay?
So when you surrender to it, you're not saying, okay, I surrender to you to take over and let my ego go wild with stuff so that I'm letting it run the ship. Instead, it's you're saying, I'm not going to even play with you because it's a lose-lose situation, right? Absolutely. And so then you just push it away. And so what do you do when you push it away, right? All of a sudden I'm feeling alone or naked and, you know, cold, just because I'm like, oh, I don't have myself by me anymore.
All right, let me back up a little bit. It's not lose-lose, it's win-lose. The ego wins, you lose.
Gotcha. Okay?
So it plays that game. You will never win with it. you don't, you surrender to it because you just don't play with it. It's the friend who comes over and beats you at chess every single day and just laughs at you and says you're stupid. And okay, you're not welcome over here anymore. And by the way, he cheats at chess too. Okay. So you just don't invite that person, that thing over. It's an entity. It's a mind made self. It's not even real. So surrendering to it means it doesn't in charge. It can't play.
Right.
Okay. And what, so your question, you said, what if I, and you can't push it away because you have to acknowledge that it's real to push it away.
Okay.
So that's how insidious it is. Wow. It's, yeah, you don't even acknowledge it. If you start thinking, then guess what? You're in an egoic state. Okay. But if you're feeling, so of course, miracles, there's a phrase in it going, or there's a book written about how it was written, and it's called The Journey Without Distance. And the journey without distance is going from your head to your heart. The head is the thinker, the heart is the feeler. Okay. So what are you left with when you don't have, you bet your ego put in its cage and feeding it lettuce? You're left with awareness and love and wholeness. And will that feel different for some people? Absolutely. But in that wholeness is love, happiness, contentment, absolution, free of guilt and shame, full of love. So is that going to be uncomfortable for some people in the beginning? Yes.
And it's uncomfortable because they, I would assume, because they haven't experienced that before. They've always had the guilt, the shame, the those feelings traveling with them throughout life. I mean, I know for myself, right? I have guilt over certain things, or I had, and then once letting it go, it dissolves it. It wishes it away, but it's not there anymore. And so that can be uncomfortable because you go, oh, well, I'm free from this. And we know people, some people identify with that feeling or that emotion. They identify with it. That's part of who they are. So they believe, but again, that's their thinking mind. That's the ego involved with it. So you have to let go and be willing to let go of it to embrace this love and openness, and you're whole and you are enough.
Correct. So what people are used to is conditional love.
Right.
I love you, honey. You know, you're the love of my life as long as you do this. So, and I will love you if, and I will be loved if I get the conditioned. So that's what when I talk about love, it's concept that engulfs everything from all the absolute terminology we talked about in the beginning. So you can't get love from someone else. And you can't give love to someone else, which is not normal thinking, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Everyone listening in this audience is love. And that's an absolute fact. And that is what connects us, this universal energy that we are. So once you understand that you are love, and once you understand it's someone else's, everyone else's love, everyone, and then you make a contract in a relationship. So relationships are contracts. And then you can put all the conditions on those contracts, fidelity, financial responsibility, do you share around the house, you know, be a great friend. Those are contractual, and people misunderstand love for relationships. And then there's entanglement.
There's conditions to that contract, right? So we are all love, and I don't need to send you love or anyone else love, because you are love and you have it there yourself. And so it's realizing that the people who want us to send them love or send them all that's, you know, good vibrations or whatever, which, you know, I do send to people because I think it helps, but I think we need to change that now, thinking about this, to helping them realize their own love, their own vibrational self there, and making them know that, no, you have it inside you, right? That it's there for you. I can't give it to you because you already have it. Is that?
Yeah, they'll look at you cross-eyed.
Yeah. I mean, I always get those fun looks as it is, but.
Yeah, it's kind of like if someone says, please send me love, you know, what a great response would be. You are love. You got it.
Right. That would be an amazing response.
You are love. Own it.
I love it. I'm going to steal that and start using it. So thank you. I appreciate that. So before I went on that little tangent, you mentioned about entitlement. And so, you know, I deserve these things, or we think that, especially I was a teacher. I saw it in students and other teachers saying, oh, these students always seem so entitled to things that, you know, the parents just give them whatever they want or whatever. And parents can say the same thing about their kids or other kids or whatever. We see it in people. And what is this whole entitlement thing? How does that fit in with this awareness, this game of 10?
Right. So one of the things I'm developing are the words we use create the mindset that we have. Okay. So I've got it down to three categories. There may be more viewers out there. Send me a note. I'm working on this. I've got it down to three. And if you start listening to yourselves and others, you'll know where they're coming from. Should, would, could, need, want. Okay. Well, should, would, could, ought to.
Right.
Guilt and shame. They're coming from guilt and shame over a situation. Okay. I feel guilty. Listen to someone talk about how they'll say, I should have done this. I ought to have done that. And blah, blah, blah.
I struggle with it. I'll be honest. I struggled with it.
Nonsense words that keep you in an energetic loop. And I guarantee you there'll be an ache and pain connected to it. Okay. So the egoic mind made self, the trickster, uses guilt and shame to cause pain. Physical and emotional. Okay. So that's the guilt category. Need and want is the lack, L-A-C-K category of not enough. I want this. I really want this. Okay. And it really puts you into a mindset of not getting it. Because if you want something, you can't have it because you want it. Or I need it. I need this. So you're in the mindset of need. So the law of attraction doesn't come in because it can't, because you're attracting want and need. Okay. Or guilt and shame can't come in because it's awareness can't come in with it because you've blocked it through that category, guilt and shame. Because it's saying guilt is I did something wrong or I did something bad. Okay. Shame is, I am bad, or you're bad. Shame on you, okay?
Right.
So you're in an unloving mindset. Then you go into, then chances are you're going to be in a lack and need mindset too, okay?
Okay.
And then add on entitlement. This shouldn't happen to me. I'm a good person. I've asked for this. What's going on, okay? I'm entitled to this. I'm doing all the right things. I'm positive thinking. I'm asking for things.
Right.
And we're using words to push it away. Hmm. And our state of mind by our thoughts and the words we're using keeps us from having and being. Having and being.
This might be a basic question, but I'm curious now. So if we're using words to push away, if I want this, let's say, yeah, I'm desiring to have this in my life, whatever it is, I send out to the universe as words of affirmation or set myself there saying it, I'm calling it, putting out to the universe, having a call back in, but now I'm pushing away because I'm wanting it. How does that law of attraction then work for us? How can we use it to our advantage to obtain the things we want, but we don't want them? If we don't, you know, I don't know how to even phrase it.
Just be aware of the words you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I call it three. I don't want to confuse the game of 10 with the words we use. I'd say the three levels are the lowest levels are the should, would, could, need, want, try. I'm sorry. That's another one. Lie. Don't do it again. So, that's level three. a level two, which is brings you to a higher level of is preference or choice. Okay. And then still not going to get it. And well, you do get it. We'll go over that in a minute. But the key is to go to a level one. I have it. I have a visualization of this situation. I'm envisioning it. I'm aware that I've asked for it. Ask once. Right. Asking you shall receive. As long as you have a clear channel, as long as you're dialing up the right phone number, right?
Right.
Well, I've ordered this. Well, you called the wrong number. You called.
It's a great way to look at that.
You called the ego. So you go to the level of just knowing, I've asked, it's coming, and let it go, and letting it go. And that oftentimes triggers another absolution word in the folder of love, patience.
That's something many people struggle with, myself included. So you put it out there to the universe. You then have it, or you're embodying it as if you have it visualized, and then you let it go, and then you let the universe do its work and come back to you, right?
If you don't let it go, you're in the mindset of holding on to that thought about it, and it can't come. If it does come, it's going to come at a cost. Okay? If you manifest or visualize having or in wanting and need, lack mode or entitlement mode or guilt and shame mode, it's going to come to you as well. And I promise you, whatever level you ask for, it's going to come at a cost.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. If you do it from the level of 10, no karmic. No duality. There's no cost. It's you've asked for it. It brings you joy because you've asked for it in a loving, joyful, happy way.
So let's chat real quick about positive negative. So we're going to dive into the world of duality a little bit.
Let's go play with the ego.
We're going to play with the ego for just a little bit here and stroke or hit mine out of the park, or I don't know, hit something. But in any case, my thought is, in the world of duality, and I mean, you know me, I talk about positivity a lot of the time and helping people raise it up. In my opinion, while we want to be at a 10, and that's the goal, and we should always strive for that and be there and get there, shouldn't I always strive, because we can be there relatively easily, we just have to let go and release stuff. Is it better to be working on that as far as like getting more positivity and increasing that, or just skipping it all and saying, whatever, I'm going straight up to awareness from a 3. I'm not even going to worry about going up from a 3 to a 7 or 8. I'm going to go from a 3 straight to a 10 and skip the steps in between. What's better for us? What's better for the world?
Yeah, the last thing you said.
I know. I was just waiting for you to say it. But
yeah, if the world just skipped all the nonsense and came from a place of compassion, love, understanding, peace, joy, unification. The world will be a better place.
Totally. And I completely agree with you that just skipping those levels, go right up to a 10, you know, and live up there. Now, I'm going to ask you a question based on a chat that we had a while back, and I'll preface it for our listeners, that we were chatting about people who are at a 3 or 4, struggle with depression and or anxiety, and they, you know, guilt, shame, all those things in there. And so many people think like, oh, I need to work through this. Oh, I need to go through this, right? Even myself, when I was going through it at the time before I knew this, it was, okay, I dig through my back garden. I need to pull out the bad weeds. And you pull out the weeds and plant flowers in there. Great visualization, helped me. It has helped other people. But is that something that we need to do? If I'm struggling with something, do I need to process it? Do I need to go through this, analyze it? And now thinking, okay, I'm thinking about it, right? So I'm playing with ego there, but how do I do that? Is that needed, or do I just go to a 10? I could see people struggling with that, as I know I might have during that time.
Because we've been conditioned to do that since the day we were born. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I've just listened to somebody who did a blog on Course in Miracles, and she really explained the ego really well. The ego was, we did come a place of need. When we were born, we needed to be nurtured. We need to, or we die. Okay. Ten's not going to come down and save you. So you're going to die. You in a place of need and want. Okay. Mm-hmm. And nurturing. And the problem comes when people don't grow out of that level of spiritual immaturity.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The ego loves it when you suffer. So yes, if you're going to go there, you need to suffer. You need to go through it. Okay. Right. To get to that level of suffering. And guess what? The ego, you just taught your ego how to get even smarter. If you can get through this one, I'm going to give you another one, another challenge. So life can be very challenging, okay? Or it can unfold for you by asking and very clearly what your intentions are. I didn't say goals, intentions, okay?
I love that switch. It's the mindset, right? Of how you look at it. Oh, life is challenging. I'm looking for these challenges. Or I know people who love challenges because they love overcoming them. It feeds that ego, as opposed to let's see how this unfolds and putting out to the universe with your intentions of what you desire, like, or would love to see unfold for you. But you're embracing the unfolding as opposed to seeing it as a challenging or hard life. Is that
correct?
Right?
Yes. So the truth is, like, I know you'd set goals for working out, handstands, and
right.
And if you look at what you're doing, you've decided to be fit and strong. And one of your goals or intentions was to do a handstand for some
30 seconds, right?
30 yep. seconds. So if you look at it from the way I look at it, is you've set your intentions. These are my intentions, and you've got to do the work to get there. Doesn't mean it just happens because you asked for it, okay? You've got to be aware for when it does happen, okay? Mm-hmm. The people show up, the facility shows up, everything shows up. You build your gym in the backyard. It all comes together. And if you look back, you're going to say, wow, this was really weird. This lumber came to me, or I saw this design. And so it did unfold for you. Right. And our job is to stay at 10 and to be aware of the presenting, okay, of it. So I call it set it and forget it. I've set my intentions. I've asked to be aware of when it shows up. Then I can make a choice. Is it still an intention? Nah, not so much. It was then. Thank you. Be gratitude. Thank you for the presenting it. Yeah, not going to do it. But it'll unfold for you and that takes away all the worrying, okay?
Wow. And that's a huge weight off so many people's shoulders. Is it worrying? Is this going to happen? I call this out, when is this going to happen and be for me or whatever you're calling out? It lifts it away, because now you're just embracing the unfolding and want to be aware of when it does present itself.
Correct. It will present itself. And the patience patience is a virtue. Okay. And virtue means truth.
Interesting. Okay?
And one of the big things people get stuck in is not knowing. These words, I'm worried that I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know? So my response is, when did you ever? Isn't that a great response?
That is. I like that one.
When did you ever know what's going to happen?
Right.
Never.
You never know. Right?
You never know. I know one thing. I'm going to cross over. And I was born, right?
Right.
And I will get a tax bill.
Right? There's some very truth right there, right? Those virtues for us. We know those things that happen. And so we raise ourselves to this level 10 so we could be aware of the amazing things in life, the not so good things, but we're just aware and it's not judging. We're happier. We've released guilt, shame, anxiety, stress, and we just come at it from a place of love. And it's been incredible for me. And yes, I struggle at points where I go back down without knowing it sometimes into the world of duality. And thankfully Steve's there to help raise me back up and help me be there and know that we're here for each other to help you all out. Steve, how can people work with you more if they wanted a one-on-one help or to purchase the Game of 10 to guide them more? What can they do and how can they connect with you?
My website is www. I've heard this by a tech guy, www. Doesn't that make more sense to say www. over, O-V-E-R, the, T-H-E, looking glass, L-O-O-K-I-N-G, L-A-S-S, looking glass, two G's in there, .com. And I came up with this because of my girlfriend's had a, if I can show it to the group here, this is it, I keep it. It's Dorothy and Alice talking on the steps, drinking some tea. And the phrase says, I've seen some weird shit. And who hasn't out there? Who has not seen some weird shit? And what I help people do is unravel that. Mm-hmm. And being in the flower business and an avid gardener, I put shit on my garden and it makes you grow. Okay.
Right.
So it's great fertilizer. It's great to have these experiences and then have understanding around it. And
I love that. And it's, for me, it's how you are aware of it. And you look at those dark times, that crazy stuff that happens to you as that experience to learn and grow from so that you can just be better and be more love, be more positive energy for people.
At peace.
At peace. Love at it. Peace.
The positive energy, I mean, my car just won't work on the positive charge. It needs a negative charge. And mm-hmm. we actually need that negative charge. We are positive and negative energy that flows. And energy can't flow without both charges. So if you look at positive and negative, the world will go off axis. It just had a positive charge, right? It's got to have the two poles. We have to have the two poles in harmony. Okay. Those two poles, positive and negative, they're equal. They're just important for our energy. We are the energy. We are not the thoughts. We are the energy. We are not the thoughts. We have thoughts. We are not the thoughts.
I love that analogy, and I appreciate you bringing me back or even right now with that. So thank you so much for that. And you're right. We have thoughts, but we are not the thoughts. And it's raising our level of awareness because many people, myself included, struggle with that at times, thinking we are those thoughts. But we just have them. Doesn't mean we have to identify with them or be them by any means.
It was our gift by somebody, some entity, right? That was free will. Okay. You can leave 10 anytime you choose with a thought. Okay. And you mentioned something a minute or two ago about judging. Every thought we have is a judgment.
I think that's a great place to leave it on. Let people chew on that or be aware of their thoughts about that one there. So, Steve, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. This is my favorite subject. I know it's yours too, helping people and making them aware of what's happening and how they can really enjoy life at a different level.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And everyone, I hope you really enjoyed this incredible interview. Let us know what you think about it. Take a screenshot, share it with us on social media, tag me and Steve in it, or Steve and I, and that'd probably be better English anyway, but so let you know that you liked it. And as always, please subscribe and keep joining us for the next episode. All right, until next time, folks, we'll catch y'all later.